I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily with Jack Posobiec. We're going to have a very special guest joining us today. Today is September 28th, 2023, Anno Domini, and I'm here to help you, folks. I'm here to help you, but I might actually have to kill myself in the process because, yes, I watched every... I'm not proud of admitting it, or I'm not proud of admitting it. I watched every single minute of that debate last night. I almost didn't make it. I almost had to throw myself out a window because that's how absolutely bad the entire thing was. This was probably one of the worst debates I've ever seen. I watch them all. I watch the mid-card debates, and this was a JV debate. All right, this was a debate of people who are never going to be the nominee. They're just not. Let's just start from right there. And on the next phrase, you've got people up there where if they're not going to be the nominee, you ask, are they running for Senate? Chris Christie, for example, New Jersey, you know, this huge Senate seat. Menendez is up there. He might be resigning. He might be stepping down. He's weak. Why don't you run for Senate? Why don't you have a seat that opens right up? No. You know, Haley, Tim Scott, I don't understand what they're doing. Vivek Ramaswamy, he's clearly there to push the Overton window. I can appreciate that. He gets the conversation going. But some of these other candidates, I'm telling you, I just don't see it. I just don't get it. So, as we look to the debate itself, and we go through the various candidates going through, there's someone that I wanted to bring on to give us his take on it. Ladies and gentlemen, on Human Events Daily, Donald Trump Jr. Don, how's it going?
I'm doing well, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I had to pause my thinking about Rome because, you know, men think about Rome all the time, we're told. And to watch
listen,
this debate,
you know, the fall
and
of an
immediately
empire,
went back to
a
thinking about Rome.
Thing to be thinking about. And man, it feels like we're close.
Well, not only empire's fall, but they're taking your family's business and they've decided that they can just dissolve it based on nothing, apparently.
Yeah, no, a judge can disregard actual experts. A judge in New York City who's never been to Florida, perhaps, you know, can tell you that Mar-a-Lago with 20 acres and that home that you're showing on it is worth $18 million, even though the vacant 2.2-acre lot down the road that's not even on the ocean is on the market for $150 million. But, you know, narrative, right? We can create narrative and we can try to confiscate the property. I think the reality is the analogy is less probably about the fall of Rome, though, based on the trans agenda and everything else that we're seeing pushed from the Democrat Party today. Maybe it's still a good analogy, but I think the most contemporary analogy would actually be sort of the Bolshevik Revolution when they just decide to start taking things from people they don't like.
That's 100% right. What America is going through is not the fall of Rome. It is the Bolshevik Empire. We got a couple of minutes until the first break, but Don, I got to ask you, just overarching view, 1,000-foot view, what was your take on the debate last night?
I mean, it was like a neocon nightmare, Jack. I mean, honestly, like when I'm seeing more, no questions about the weaponization of government, plenty of questions about the environment, about amnesty, people going along blindly with that one. I mean, I literally thought it was like an MSNBC debate, not a Republican National Committee debate for, you know, for, I guess, Commerce Secretary in this case. But it was truly remarkable that none of the issues that actually matter to conservative voters were actually brought up. But I don't think that should surprise us, Jack. I saw yesterday the video, you know, Mitch McConnell, it's Ukraine is the number one issue for Republicans. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not a top 10 issue. And I know that because unlike Mitch McConnell, I spend a lot of time out there with actual Republicans, and I'll speak to groups of thousands of people at a time, and I'll be, hey, show of hands, is Ukraine your top issue? No hands. Is it a top three issue? No hands. Is it a top 10? In the top 10 category, I have yet to have a single person raise their hand. But, you know, it shows you the difference between sort of the Washington elite and the people they're supposed to be representing that put them there. There is a huge disconnect, and we have to fix that. I mean, Donald Trump, I think, understands that. He's probably the only one that gets it.
No, I think you're exactly right. We're coming up on our first break here. Donald Trump Jr., his first takes on the debate from last night, a neocon nightmare. You have these people up there, and Dom, I tweeted this out last night. I said, imagine if we had American leaders on the stage in this party that spoke as passionately about the American people as they do about the people in foreign lands that are thousands of miles away from our border. It's like they get activated. Nikki Haley, she's like, oh, the people of Ukraine, the people of Balochalekistan, we've got to help the people. So what about the people of your state, of South Carolina, the people of America? Well, you know, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Coming back next, Don Jr. walking through the debate, all things the fall of Rome, the new Bolshevik revolution, as Human Events Daily continues. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
In the hood, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. We're interviewing Donald Trump Jr. And before we get to this, Don, I want to get your take on this clip from Governor Ron DeSantis last night. Guys, let's go and play SOT 1.
And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record, where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt. That set the stage for the inflation that we have now.
Governor Ron DeSantis, coming out of left field, literally left field, blaming all of our inflation woes on Donald Trump. Look, I lit this up in real time. I've been going on this on Twitter all morning. What he's done is give a gift to the Biden administration, because this has been Joe Biden and Karine Jean-Pierre and all of them, their contention from the very start, that inflation is Trump's fault. It's all Trump's fault. Everything's Trump's fault. You know, we inherited a mess. We're working to fix it. Why would Ron DeSantis go? And Biden's already got an ad cut this morning thanking him, saying, I agree with you, playing the clip over. And we are going to hear this again and again. It feels like, to me, like he's scumbagging Trump because he knows he can't win the nomination.
Oh, I think 100%. And I'm sure, like all of the other sort of, you know, canned consultant poll driven lines that Ron DeSantis really struggles to deliver, whether he can't remember what they are or whatever it is, it's so pre-baked. You know, I think it is all consultant driven. I'm not even sure if it's Ron DeSantis himself, but they want to make sure that they can take out Trump now so that they can make their billions off of the next class in 2028, that Trump's not a part of it anymore, that they can choose, just like his consultants have made, you know, upwards of $60 million on this race. And, you know, he's, you know, tied with people in the low single digits now. It's truly pathetic, but it shouldn't surprise us. Now, it also didn't stop Ron DeSantis from taking advantage of the CARES Act. You know, he took billions for Florida.
Of course.
Right before his election, he gave Florida, you know, drivers a gas tax break with that money so that he could help, you know, look better before an election. So,
well, he was right. The whole month before the election, he gave them a gas tax break.
The lie that he told about fracking when he did try to ban it in Florida, or did ban it in Florida and prevented that resolution from going forward. He said Nikki Haley was lying about it, but she's 100% right on that one. So it doesn't surprise me, but he's so inorganic. He's so robotic. It's really pathetic, but I guess, you know, it's the last dying gasps of a failed campaign. And everyone told him it was going to be him, mostly because they knew he was dumb enough to go for it. And they all made millions off of his run. But I think he's done a lot of damage to himself and to any future prospects he had. I don't think he's ever going to be on the podium in 28, even if he wanted to be at this point.
I think what we're seeing right now is a kamikaze campaign for the last run of, to your point, the last run of this campaign until they run out of money, which may happen in a couple of weeks here, where he's actually, or and the people running this campaign are trying to scumbag Trump, and what I mean by that is that they're trying to damage Trump as much as possible to beat him up before he can get in with to the general election with Joe Biden. So that means you're in league, right? And by the way, and I have to ask you this because I mean you're part of it in so many ways that the deep state weaponization of the DOJ doesn't even come up once. There isn't even a question. It's like these guys tell me that they're going to fight the deep state. They don't even mention it. It's like, oh, they didn't notice that they're trying to throw the top opposition candidate in jail, dissolve your businesses, muzzle everybody who even speaks out against it. And they're up there talking like it's the 1980s, just repeating rehashed Ronald Reagan lines over and over.
Yeah, and by the way, including amnesty, right? I mean, they spent more time arguing, yes, about gun control, at a Republican debate. What can we give the Democrats on this one? More time arguing about amnesty than what actually is something that really concerns a lot of Americans. They understand what they're doing and trying to throw at Trump. They understand how aggressive they're going at that. And they understand that Trump's in the way of them, meaning the deep state and the big government that's been weaponized against its citizenry, going up against those people. If they can do it to Trump, they can do it to anyone. That's an issue that matters. But exactly, we allowed, right, I guess, Univision to drive, MSDNC talking points and make Republicans argue about things that no Republican voter actually wants. It's truly special.
Well, she's up there and she says, and I have to push back on this, she says, gun violence is unique to America. I'm sorry, Don, let me ask you, you're an expert on this more so than I. Is there any gun violence in other countries? Like, I don't know, like, let's just pick one off the top of the hat. Like Mexico, is there any gun violence in Mexico by chance?
I believe it is a pristine country with no gun violence, and neither are any of the other, Latin American countries that send
well,
us
not El Salvador anymore.
MS-13 gang members, they are very nice people. They purely bludgeon people with baseball bats. There's no gun violence involved, even though we see the cartels going after the Mexican government and Mexican military and winning. No. It's solely and uniquely left to America, Jack. This is what they'd have you believe on the Republican debate stage.
Embarrassing. I was flabbergasted. I think it was actually humiliating to see the party get to this point. And we had, you go back and you think about the 2015 debate, everybody remembers the best one was the Reagan Library, Simi Valley. This was the one where Donald Trump gets up there and just, gives the Rosie O'Donnell, the immortal, at this point, Rosie O'Donnell answer, and is just lighting up neocons left and right on that stage. But without him there, you didn't really have that. And I guess that, to your point, right, that's what makes it the neocon nightmare. I'll throw him some bones. Vivek has definitely done a lot to shift the conversation there. But it's nowhere near what the 2015 debate was.
Yeah, no, I actually think that's fair. I think Doug Burgum actually performed reasonably well. But
kind of like
it. What's really
kinda
sort
like
of
the guy.
Struck me as odd is that of everything that we've seen, of all the weaponization of government, of all of the issues that really matter to Republican voters, they're not talking about it on the Republican debate stage again. It's like they're trying to forget that Trump won on a populist movement, that Trump welcomed working class Americans, that literally the entire designation of our party shifted over the last, let's call it, 7 years. And it's like, no, we want to go back to the old ways because we were more comfortable with that. And that let us be, invited to the, into polite society in Washington, D.C., rather than actually fight for the people that matter. That's why I thought, Jack, it was so important for my father to be, in Detroit with the auto workers. And while union leadership, no, they're for Joe Biden. Of course they are. They've been bought and paid for by the Democrat Party for decades. But the average worker at the UAW events, like, these people are for Trump. You saw that. You saw that in the turnout. You saw that in the crowds lining the street. The actual workers, not the union leadership, just like the actual Republican voters, not Republican leadership, let's call it, in the United States Senate. They are in two different worlds and they don't know it. Certainly, I think the voters now get that. But Republican leadership doesn't get it. And they're just trying to pretend like the last 7 years didn't happen. We're going to go back to being some sort of, you know, I don't know, hated elitist. We won't win anything. We won't do anything for the American people. We'll ship your jobs abroad and that'll be just fine.
I mean, he stood with the workers. They stood with the donors. I don't think you could find a better juxtaposition. And I have to say, for me, the line of the entire night was when Donald Trump goes there to the UAW workers and says, we will suspend all military support for countries that refuse to buy American cars. I mean, when you're trying to win the auto workers vote over, yeah, that's not a bad line. Best, you know, salesman of the year of the century, maybe. But why is it that we have so many of these neocons? Anyone could have said this. Why is it that a guy like Donald Trump, who has, you know, other than when he was president, no government experience whatsoever, why can he see something like this, that our military presence and posture can be used to support American exports?
Yeah, because he's done stuff in the real world, unlike all of these bureaucrats. You know, Ron DeSantis is a bureaucrat. You know, Chris Christie is a bureaucrat. Nikki Haley is a bureaucrat. That's all they ever did was government stuff. You know, they have no chance. They've never negotiated real deals. They're negotiating. They're playing with other people's money. It doesn't really matter. You know, they don't get it. It's like, by the way, same thing with the last debate. Like, all of the lines that stuck in the original debate were Trump ideas. You know, Ron DeSantis, well, I'm going to use the military to secure our border. Like, I wonder who said that like 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, who's the guy that started with that concept? And then, you know, the neocons, oh, we can't possibly do that. We need to spend our military to fight battles in Eastern Europe so that we can, you know, start, you know, nuclear war with Russia. That's better use of our time because we can sell more missiles. The other stuff can be done with bullets, you know, and localized helicopters. But no. We need a full global scale nuclear war so that we can keep our board seat at Raytheon and make millions of dollars. Like, it's insane, Jack. But this stuff's going on. These guys are, you know, they're not capable of an original thought. And I think that was perhaps the thing that struck me most. You know, at the debate, maybe Burgum actually had a couple. You know,
we actually
before he went into politics. Vivek, business guy before he went into politics, because he gets some of those things. You know, DeSantis, Haley, it's like they just echo the consultant talking points. Like, let's do some polling to see if this works. You know, Ron with the fake smile because someone told him he's got a smile, so he had that awful like smile. It was either the resting scowl or the fake smile. It's so contrived. It's like you could tell they were doing polling of what he should be doing from the last debate to make him appear like he's not a freaking robot to the American people. And it's not working. You can't fake that stuff.
We actually, guys, can we play that? Do we have time? Can we play that clip there, SOT 3? Can we throw it? It's such a great line. I'd love to play this, guys. Do we have it? Do we have enough time? Let's throw it up.
I will then go to every foreign country where we're paying billions and billions of dollars for their military defense, as I was doing before, and tell them that if they do not massively increase their purchases of Ford, Chevys, GMs, and Jeeps, our troops are packing up and we're coming home. You got to buy our products. You got to buy our products. And that's going to be the least of them.
The only kind of military export trade deal that you're going to get from a businessman named Donald J. Trump. Coming back.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack. He's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. We're talking with Donald Trump Jr., giving our response, his response to the debate last night. Just an absolute clown show. There was another sort of situation. So the Biden campaign sends Gavin Newsom to the debate. Very interesting. And this ties into what I think is a shadow primary. I've called this out. That's going on the Democrat side right now. You got Newsom out there, Hillary out there, and we've got a clip of Newsom from an interview that he gave. Let's play clip two, guys.
Why is he doing it is the right question. He's running, I think. I'm not sure after tonight. But currently he's running for president of the United States. The fact that he took this debate, the fact that he took the bait in relation to this debate, shows that he's completely unqualified to be president of the United States. That's my humble first.
Why is that? You're baiting him with the debate offer?
Of course. I mean, why is he debating a guy who's not even running for president when he's running for president? He's showing up at the Reagan Library, hallowed ground, and he puts out an ad today, not for his presidential campaign, to promote a debate against the governor of California. I mean, this guy's distracted. So I don't know that he has it in his heart. I think, here's my personal opinion about Ron DeSantis. He regrets running for president. He made a huge mistake. He listened to his consultants. He bought his own hype. He had this little God complex. I mean, look at the ads themselves. Literally, God created. I mean, he bought into all this stuff.
Smooth as Satan. Smooth as Satan. Gavin Newsom. Handsome Gavin getting in there. Don, what's your take on this? Not only the debate between DeSantis and Newsom, who's not running for president, who he's basically saying, I baited him into doing this, but also this idea that Newsom is possibly going to use this debate to springboard himself into basically a shadow primary for a sort of stalker, you know, kind of position at the maybe the DNC convention.
Listen, I hate to say it, but is there any reasonable argument to make about Gavin Newsom being wrong about literally everything that he said there? I mean, it's pretty crazy, right? I mean, he's the governor of California. Ron DeSantis, a couple of weeks ago, we were told was a shoo-in for the presidency of the United States. But he's so desperate for anything that he does this. I think it shows you what we learned last time, you know, whether it was like, well, you know, all the MAGA voters, you know, about, you know, 75% of the Republican base, you know, they're listless vessels. It shows that Ron DeSantis has really terrible instincts. You see that he's incapable of making a decision that's not clearly consultant-based, consultant-driven. So he's right. He's giving someone who's not in the race, someone who'd be irrelevant in this process, a chance to do that. And if you've looked at DeSantis debates, I'm worried that he's actually going to get crushed by Gavin Newsom, unfortunately. The policies, I think, are disastrous for California. I think for America, they would be disastrous. But when you do have to go to your consultants, when you do, as you saw with Ron DeSantis in the first debate, how do I answer the most obvious question? I'm looking around for a lifeline. Where is my help? I don't know what to do. You know, everyone else, I raise my hand. Of course, it's weaponization of government. Yeah. He's incapable of that. So he is so desperate. He bought this. And so, you know, you're the guy that was going to be the presumptive president of the United States, according to your own polls. You had Fox News, you know, giving you a lap dance for 2 years, artificially boosting you, making you seem organic. You know, he believed that the people that he hired to do his social media, you know, right, doing a couple memes, clipping a 10-second thing and trying to make him look like a rock star. He started believing that stuff. And I think it's embarrassing. And he's continued to embarrass himself. And that's why when you've seen Ron DeSantis in anything other than short form, meaning anything other than like a 15 to 30 second meme, he does himself a disservice. Ever since you've seen Ron DeSantis in long form, his polls have been in decline, just like he tried stealing my father's nation, my father's line about a nation in decline during the first debate. You know, his campaign has been in decline and he's desperate to try to salvage something that he's incapable of salvaging because it's just not in him. And his consultants can't carry you over the line when you actually have to be on the world stage.
Now, Dom, what do you think about this contention that let's say, you know, devil's advocate, Biden, something happens, maybe it's the convention, doesn't accept the nomination, whatever, Newsom becomes the nominee. It seems to be the hot topic. Everyone's talking about it. What do you think his chances are in a general election with your father?
So I think you have to look at the California policies right now. I mean, you know, he's probably left of Joe Biden, which is insane, you know, but the stuff with the trans agenda, the disaster with the border, the immigration, you know, thing after thing after thing, the failure. There's a reason people are leaving California in droves. I mean, arguably one of the most beautiful states in the country. They're fleeing in droves because they can't handle the disaster that has that Democrat policies have turned out. So, you know, it's interesting that we go right from Joe Biden to Gavin Newsom, because it's clear that Kamala Harris may actually be worse than all of them, amazingly enough. And, you know, there's not a Democrat in America considering that maybe she'd be the person, even if she's the next natural order of things type of candidate. But we've seen her fail on a world stage because that's Democrat policy. How many boxes can we check and that makes you qualified? It doesn't work. It's failed miserably for the Democrats. It will continue to fail for them, but they're not going to change that anytime soon. That will be the way it works.
I think it's exactly right. Now, flipping on the flip side here, we thought, and I actually tweeted this last night, I thought that maybe that you'd see more of this push to, because the big donors, right, so the big donors that were flush behind DeSantis for so long, they've all pulled out. The Ken Griffins, Jeff Yass, the TikTok guy, they've all pulled out. But now, and I thought maybe they were going to get behind Haley, like line up behind Haley. But we're seeing in the news
today. They went to Tim Scott for about
on.
A day. And unfortunately, I like him.
For like
a nice
day.
Guy, but man, he's done himself a huge
disservice.
He's going
for that goatee.
Like,
he's
going, what
you know,
a disaster.
He's, like, he's trying to.
So they went to Tim Scott for about a day and a half. They realized that was a disaster. So they went to Nikki Haley. You know, they realized that, you know, endless wars in Europe, sending our children to die abroad probably isn't the strongest campaign message in a Republican primary these days. So they're probably hemorrhaging. Her campaign is probably hemorrhaging donors as well. So yes, now they're desperately scrambling for others.
So the new news that we're getting is that, and this is out of the Washington Post, then you're seeing it on Fox News as well, that Youngkin seems to be the one that they're trying to put in the hot seat, that they want to, you know, the draft Youngkin campaign is on. They're calling it the Red Vest Retreat that will be taking place in October 17th and 18th down at Virginia Beach. Billionaire backer Peter Fee assures me the money will be there. Bill Barr telling Glenn Youngkin to put his oar in. All right, so you've got all this money, a lot of the Bush clan really lining up behind Youngkin. What do you think his chances would be?
About zero. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, everyone said that about DeSantis. He was going to be the guy, and they gave him $1 billion. I mean, he's still, you know, as badly as he's failed, he's still got like $75 million in his super PAC. And, you know, they're going to make sure all that money's spent, because otherwise the consultants, you know, don't get to make 25, 35, 45% off of every dollar spent to get themselves rich. And that's all that campaign ever was. So those guys realize that the DeSantis campaign is over in about 2 or 3 weeks. They realize that, hey, if we can get another campaign in there, we'll make more millions off of that. The billionaires want a Republican who they can call, who will do their bidding. Like, you know, you can be hard on China, but, you know, not too hard, because I still get my widgets over here for, you know, 30 cents cheaper, you know, for 1,000 of them by going to China. So, you know, we can say we're going to be hard on China, but we're not going to really be. You know, it's wishful thinking. And, you know, it's what the Republicans do best, which is disregard their base. They disregard their base for the billionaire donor class. At least with the leftists, both the donors and the voters seem to be lunatic radicals at this point. You know, but I think we have a chance of capturing some of those who aren't insane. The people who are just sort of, you know, hardworking blue collar Democrats. Again, why my father was with the union auto workers yesterday. But the Republicans, they won't do that. They'll go shill for the donor base in California. So, you know, it's going to be another failed attempt. But, you know, again, they're going to keep trying, man. They got a lot of money. They want that power. They want that clout. They're not really America First or MAGA. They want to go back to the uniparty DC ways, maybe with a little bit lower taxes, and everything else stays the same. That's failed America for far too long. It's not going to work this time. It's not going to work ever.
Don, I think that's exactly right. I want to go back. We've mentioned this briefly, and we've just got a couple of minutes left here, but this idea that the government can just come in and dissolve your family's business to go after the properties. I mean, it's my producer, producer Foz, who's also a New Yorker, threw out there. He goes, I think I would. He's like, all right, I'm not gonna actually repeat exactly what he said, but he said, if they try to put illegal immigrants in Trump Tower, if they try to turn that into an illegal alien holding center, I might have to join the riots in the streets. Okay, I said it.
Yeah, it's insane. You saw that yesterday. I mean, you know, they're removing a 95-year-old Korean War veteran from his house to make room for migrants that we're going to house for free. We're going to educate and give them health care for free. But someone who served their country gets thrown out like a dog in the streets. I mean, that is Democrat policy, Jack. That's what I'm talking about. If you're an American citizen in a Democrat state, or if they take, you know, full rule ever here, which they're going to try to do, you will be a second and probably a third class citizen in your own country with the privilege of having to pay for everyone else's first class tickets. That's how insane it's gotten. I mean, people in Staten Island, conservatives are finally, you know, trying to block buses. They're risking getting arrested to prevent Americans getting thrown out from old age homes to accommodate illegal immigrants for nothing, for free. New York's bill on this one, they're saying like it's $1 billion. Now Eric Adams and Kathy Hochul, the governor, and all, well, you know, they were all really, sanctuary cities are wonderful. Oh, well, now that they're here, like, we don't really want you here. Don't come here. Go elsewhere. Go occupy, you know, a red state so that we can manipulate the census in time and have more Democrat representation to crap all over American citizens, you know, and buy votes from those who are never going to contribute back into a system. That's the Democrat plan. It is America last. I ask this question all the time, and no one can give me a direct answer anymore that doesn't go away from the obvious. If you were deliberately trying to destroy America from within, what would you do differently than today's Democrat policy? And the answer is nothing. Okay, you'd push gender-affirming care. You'd push racial victimhood across the board. You wouldn't penalize those who are looting and burning down stores. You're just fine when those same stores leave those inner cities because, hey, those people are going to go loot somewhere else. So they'll go into your suburbs and your neighborhoods and take care of that. Like, that's not isolated to Philadelphia or Seattle or Portland. That's going to spread because people understand if there's no consequence to your actions, they're going to take advantage of that. And we've trained people very well to do that. That is today's Democrat policy.
In my ear about the boring people at your office, I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we're back live. Don Jr. has agreed to stay with us a little bit longer. And if I could sum up what he left us with in the last segment, I guess I would have to use a line from the great historic documentary about New York City called Taxi Driver, with the line of someday a real rain will come and wash all of this scum off the streets. Don, that's what we need. That's the kind of energy. And I think when I saw, you know, you take Trump Tower as sort of the iconic, the birthplace of the MAGA movement. Yeah, that is the spot where it all happened. And now, of course, that's what the Democrats are targeting. They want to strip those letters, those iconic letters, off of that building, not just in New York, but on all of them, all the hotels, et cetera, Chicago, Vegas. And they want to fill it full of illegal aliens. This is like the perfect example. I would say the perfect example of what the two sides are fighting over. And it's amazing that we have a physical representation of it.
Yeah, listen, you saw that in New York with the insanity out of the, you know, judge ruling over there. But that shouldn't surprise anyone anymore. You've seen that. You know, you see it in D.C. with January 6th. You see it in Fulton County in Georgia. They're going after people in areas where they know they can't possibly get a fair trial. You saw the fraud claims on Donald Trump. Yes, the banks were somehow defrauded. They were paid back in full with interest. But it doesn't matter. We're going to say that they were. We're going to disregard literally the bank's testimony saying that, no, of course we do our own diligence. Like any one of your listeners who's ever bought a house, an apartment, who's ever bought that, you know, you go through that. There's an independent third party appraisal. It's literally like the most basic concept in all of lending. Doesn't matter. Deutsche Bank worth $1 trillion. Like they must not have done it. No, we did it. We did. No, I'm going to disregard your testimony because I want to get to a result that works. You saw that with Judge Shokin down in D.C. and all, you know, these people are going after their citizens. And if you don't step in line, Trump is just in the way of them doing that to you. I've said it. I think I said it earlier on the show. Like, if you think that it ends with them going after Trump, you haven't been watching. Trump has the means to fight back. He's got one of the largest platforms anywhere in the world, a huge following. If they can disregard basic rules of law, basic decency, manipulate, you don't think they're going to do it to you? You don't think they will do it to you in full force and effect to push their Marxist ideology? And that's
and
this stuff isn't hyperbole anymore, Jack. This is reality.
And I know that you and I have talked about this on your show on Triggered, but this is something that people don't realize, because you've actually been to communist countries. You spent time in communist countries back then. You've seen this before, haven't you?
Oh, I have. You know, a great service my mother and father did for me was send me to my grandparents to communist Czechoslovakia in the early 80s as a kid. You know, I've waited in those bread lines. I've been pulled out of the security line at customs, you know, by a guy in a machine gun when you're like seven because I was wearing like stars and stripes on my jean jacket. It was very 80s cool. But I was, you know, was I there to spread the propaganda? I mean, I remember it being my first time of, you know, actually like cognizant of fear. It stuck with me to this day. It was probably the beginnings of my political leanings. You know, that was just south of your people over in Poland. But like, I've been there. I've done that. I've seen it. It's why I believe and think the way I do, despite, you know, again, being a guy, son of a billionaire from New York City who went to Ivy League colleges. Like, I'm supposed to be a Democrat, but I'm an ardent conservative because I've seen where this stuff goes. And if we're pretending that these guys haven't tried taking over it in a Marxist fashion, you haven't been watching. Look at education. Look at our military. Look at every institution across the board. You know, sure, military. Yeah, the door kickers, the operators, the SEALs. I'd say 99% conservative guys. But yeah, you know what? They won't take the vax. Well, we'll purge those guys. We'll replace them with a tranny. It doesn't matter. You know, that's fine. You can be an admiral in about 2 seconds. Just check off the box here that you're trans and capitulate. This is where we've gone. I've seen it with my own eyes, and we're not going to let it happen here in America, despite what they're trying to do to us on a daily basis.
No, I think it's exactly right. You know, and I've got a friend, Tom Sauer, on Twitter, and he always we served together in the Navy, and he was EOD tech, and he posts messages all the time. It's always anonymously, but he's got this thread that's been going for almost 2 years of SEALs, of EOD, of Army Special Forces, Green Berets, saying not only are they getting out, but they're telling their kids. Not, this is the first time we've ever seen this in American history, where the 100%. Military families are telling their kids not to get in. And guess what? We're seeing the exact same thing happen in where? In police families. So what happens to our country when we stop having the best of the best? Because we know, anybody who knows, that's a family business. What happens when those people stop sending their kids in?
It's a disaster. You're seeing it unfold. I mean, I said this a couple of months ago, and I, you know, the media, how dare Don Jr.? He doesn't know. I said, hey, man, I have friends in the teams. I travel a lot in those circles with, you know, buddies. You know, they literally tell me they spend more time doing diversity training than they do shooting SEALs. I mean, they're like, no, he doesn't. And, you know, Rob O'Neill and Carl Higbee and some of my buddies, you know, Rob O'Neill killed Bin Laden. Like, he jumps in, he's like, Don is 100% right, and this stuff needs to stop. I have guys that are, you know, fourth generation military. They're literally telling their kids to pull their applications from like Annapolis and West Point because they're teaching these things. I know guys that are juniors and seniors in some of those schools, like the academies, Naval Academy, West Point, like leaving because they're like, I'm not going to go work in this military. This woke nonsense. I got to capitulate to all of this insanity. I mean, they may be one of the most woke institutions in America right now. And that starts at the leadership at the top. That's, again, it is not the door kickers, just like it's not the door kickers in the FBI. But they understand that if they don't follow the thing, if they even have a hint that maybe they're not on board with the leftist radical agenda that dominates the leadership of those institutions, that they will be out. They will be guarding a pile of rubber dog crap in Guam for the rest of their careers. No chance of promotion, no chance of anything. They've subverted these institutions, Jack. And until we implement Schedule F, fire all the bureaucrats, get rid of them all and start from scratch, we have no chance of ever getting back our country, in my opinion.
No, I think that's exactly right. And Schedule F, which is, by the way, another thing that Governor DeSantis tried to take credit for, that was actually signed as an executive order in the Trump administration. It was completely designed by him. This idea that these guys, and that's fine if you want to come along afterwards and join the fight. I'm all for it, by the way. But don't run around telling, number one, lying about your COVID record, and then number two, lying about the money that you took and were happy to take, thanks for the CARES Act. And then number three, claiming that all of these things that you can, oh, we're going to go after the cartels. We're going to go fire the bureaucrats, Schedule F. Gee, where have I heard all these things before? It's amazing. But Don, let me ask you, and I'll leave it with this, because you mentioned before, and it's such a great juxtaposition. Gavin Wax had a tweet up earlier, and they said the leaders of the Republican Party hate the fact that the crowd at Donald Trump's rally last night of the workers is the face of the new American Republican Party, the new Republican Party, not the donors in Simi Valley. Talk to me a little bit about the restructuring of the party and how it actually expands the party and makes us win in the future.
Well, you know, you need people to be incentivized to vote. And if they're doing that, you know, when we have a donor, a blue collar worker donates $25 to the Trump campaign, you know, that person's vested. They want to see it. When some billionaire writes a check for $1 million, it means nothing to them. OK, it means nothing. They're just buying influence. They'll write a check to the next guy and the next guy, you know, to get themselves in proximity to that power. There's almost a comparable. I'm not going to say it's quite as bad as the Democrats, but a disdain for the hardworking men and women from, you know, the establishment class of the Republican Party. I mean, I think the Democrats are much worse because they could care less about any American, as, you know, unless they're, you know, trans or check off a bunch of boxes or foreign nationals. You know, they get the full representation. But it really is they don't respect these people. These are hardworking people, man. They're working their asses off to survive under these disastrous economic conditions created by Democrat policy. And they don't care. You know, it doesn't affect them because there's no consequence to losing in D.C. if you're establishment. Guess what? Well, we'll go be a lobbyist and play the conservative role on MSDNC and all. You know, that ends very quickly once you get outside of that D.C. Bubble. For real Americans, they're suffering. They're hurting. And these guys couldn't care less. You see that daily. You see that in the responses. You see that, you know, DeSantis, you know, he managed to go very viral. How come he can't? How come he's got almost no small dollar operation? Because it's not real. It's not resonating with the American people. They'll create and make it seem like a very small people that do this and make it seem like he's representing the American people, but they're not. All that money is going to a super PAC from billionaire donors. It's just not the same. And no one other than Trump has been willing to just solely focus on the working class people of this country.
That's great. Don Jr., the host of Triggered. Go check it out on Rumble. He's triggering everybody. He's triggering the libs. And most importantly, he's triggering the neocons, and he's never let up. Don Jr., thank you for joining us here. Appreciate your time. Human Events Daily.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back here, Human Events Daily. Quick question. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody, and the very next thing you know, you're getting ads for products that match exactly what you were just talking about? Well, between the government, big tech, corporate America, and criminals, our privacy is compromised 24/7. This is on top of the side effects from radiation that, of course, the cell phone company swears is totally safe. Detox from your phone today with Silent. Silent is a light and portable Faraday sleeve. I've got mine right here. That protects your privacy, your security, and your health. This is patented Silent Pocket Faraday technology, blocking harmful radiation and all wireless signals, giving you peace of mind that your personal data never ends up in the wrong hands. Go silent today at slnt.com/poso. Use promo code POSO and save up to 15% plus free shipping on qualifying orders. Look, here at Human Events Daily, we are challenging the government, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, the big corporate interests. We're on the front lines, and we have to protect our privacy at all times. That's why I am so thankful that Silent was created. Again, go to slnt.com/poso. That's slnt.com/poso, and use promo code POSO for up to 15% off on free shipping and qualifying orders. Want to bring in here Libby Emmons, the editor in chief of Human Events. Libby, just, you know, wild interview with Don Jr. popping off. You cannot put a filter on that guy. And so, you know, trigger warning to anyone out there. What did you think of the debate last night, Libby?
I thought it was an absolute mess. I thought it was a clown show. There were a number of things that I found really disheartening about that debate. One of them was how the candidates just continued to snipe at one another. And it was very clear that they really wanted to take aim at Donald Trump, who, of course, is the front runner by a lot to get the Republican nomination for the 2024 ticket. So I was very sad to see them just go at each other, since they couldn't go at Trump since he wasn't there. And of course, he wasn't there because none of these individuals have really earned a shot at the title fight, right? Am I using my terminology correctly?
You're right. Look. In the words of the great American, warrior poet, Rick Morgan Flair. To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo. It's as simple as that. You don't just get a title shot. You have to earn a title shot. And these guys walk in and off. Libby, it'd be like you getting up there saying, I should get a debate with Trump. I should get, like, and then actually thinking that you're like owed one for some reason.
Right. Yeah. This is like a holdover of this millennial attitude where they think they just deserve stuff because they showed up and said, ooh. Let me do it.
Are you saying, yeah. Did you say that Governor DeSantis is acting like an entitled millennial?
Well, isn't he kind of though? I mean, he goes out there.
Dang.
Right? I mean, maybe Governor DeSantis is acting like an entitled millennial. He goes out there, he gets a campaign team that really does not seem to be doing its job. They cut off a lot of noses, spiting their faces and whatnot. Yeah, I do think that's a shame. And of course, we saw DeSantis make some remarks about Trump that were sort of false, saying that Trump's $7.8 trillion addition to the national debt was what is leading to high inflation. Now, when Trump left office, it was at 1.4%. 1.4%. Gas was affordable, low unemployment. We were looking pretty good. Biden comes in here. He's going to be adding not just more than the national debt that Trump added, but I believe more than Obama combined with Trump. If I read my news right this morning, so it's really
because what you had, it's as simple as this. It's to put it to what you're saying, because I was going to this as well, and it's the CARES Act was done during the lockdowns when nobody could work. When nobody could perform it. And oh, by the way, to keep businesses afloat during that time because of the lockdowns that were enforced by what? Democrat governors. The problem was that Biden continued spending and pushed more and more spending even after the lockdowns and the pandemic and everything had all ended. That's why we call it Bidenflation. And you can see it in CPI, you can see it in the PMI, you can see the PPI, every inflation measure, just gas prices in general. People remember, okay, there's a reason we call it Bidenflation. And to that point, which is a term that, as far as I know, I'm the first one that came up with that term all the way back in 2021. In like May, got it trending. I remember the day we came up with it. It was very fun. And Ron DeSantis has used that phrase tons of times since then. It's a great phrase. So why would you turn around and give a gift to Joe Biden by using a Joe Biden talking point and blaming Trump for what is Biden's greatest vulnerability? Libby, to exactly what you're saying, you know when the prices got bad. You know when gas prices went up. You know when groceries got up. And I'm not going to have this career politician out of Jacksonville come up and lie to me about it.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. I think someone hasn't told DeSantis that how far back he is in the polls. And so he doesn't realize that Trump is the guy that apparently we're going to go with. So he should probably back that guy, you know, like he used to way back when. So, yeah, I found that really confusing. Also, at one point, Tim Scott took aim at Nikki Haley over some curtains that were in the UN ambassador's office that had been purchased by the Obama administration, and he couldn't let that rest. And I was thinking to myself, we're arguing about curtains? The border is wide open. Inflation is off the charts. Everything is going straight to hell, if I may. And we're arguing about curtains from way back when she was an ambassador to the UN? Absolutely insane. And one of the most ridiculous things that happened, first of all, the moderators were atrocious. But one of the things that happened by the moderators is they actually said to these men and women on the stage, who should you vote off the island? And gave them some paper to write it down, as though our democracy is a game show.
So bad.
The United States is the last bastion of liberty in the entire world. If we fall, there's just no chance. It's authoritarianism from here all the way to the Pacific, you know, but going the other way. So what was that about? And actually, Chris Christie wrote down Donald Trump. And Donald Trump wasn't even on the stage because they're just so obsessed with him. They can't get it out of their minds that they have absolutely no chance compared to Trump. And, you know, I think that they did have chances. I think that, you know, they could have run better campaigns. They have not run better campaigns. And again, we see Vivek Ramaswamy, who is the only one out there who actually said Trump was the greatest president. You know, he was terrific and wants to back America First policies and wants the rest of the GOP to get on board with those policies as well. Again, he's the only one standing out there saying, Trump voters matter. I care about what you want. And the rest of them
are. Ladies and gentlemen,
they don't care.
You have my permission to lay ashore.